Hi, I'm Philip Anthony Albertelli, and this is The Week in Doubt, episode 68. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/theweekindoubt. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. First off, I'd like to apologize for last week's technical glitches. The mic I use is really sensitive, and I think it picked up the sound of my neighbor's lawnmower. So for at least about 5 minutes, you probably heard a persistent low rumbling noise. Okay, now it's time for another one of my neurotic self-corrections. Last week, when discussing sexual identity in the ancient world, I used the word diaphanous to describe the relative lack of defined boundaries between sexual orientation, specifically in the Greco-Roman world. I know in ancient Rome, at least, they literally lacked the words to differentiate homosexual from heterosexual orientation. However, it was apparently considered better to be the penetrator than to be penetrated. The active as opposed to the passive role was considered more masculine. Anyway, the word diaphanous is usually defined as meaning translucent or light and delicate, but can also less commonly be used to mean vague or insubstantial. So I guess I was using it in its less common application. Just wanted to clear that up. I have an irrational fear of being criticized for my language skills. Anyway, end of yet another neurotic self-correction. Before we get off the subject of sexual orientation, maybe get off is a bad choice of words, have you ever noticed that whenever I express my staunch pro-gay rights views, I always have to make sure to mention that I'm not gay myself? I know it probably makes me look petty and insecure, but I think it's kind of funny, and I was wondering if anyone else noticed. It kind of reminds me of the old Seinfeld episode, well, actually now they're all old episodes, where they keep saying, not that there's anything wrong with that. But anyway, all right, on to the first story. So I'm sure at least some of you have seen footage of Nick Wallenda, a daredevil and a member of the famous Flying Wallendas family, crossing a 1,500-foot gorge near the Grand Canyon on a 2-inch-thick cable without a net. Well, it turns out he's quite a religious dude. Someone elsewhere in the house was watching it when it aired on Discovery. I think Skywire was the name of the special. I was walking by and it sounded like someone was listening to a Sunday sermon from a televangelist. I thought someone was watching Joel Osteen or something. I kept hearing phrases like praise Jesus over and over again. I was wondering what the hell was going on. So I walked in the room and looked at the TV and saw it was a guy up on a high wire. I think, by the way, Joel Osteen actually was involved. I believe he was there to lend spiritual support to Nick Wallenda. I'll actually read a paragraph from a Huffington Post story. Nick Wallenda praises Jesus during tightrope walk. Anyone watching Skywire on Discovery Channel on Sunday noticed something. Nick Wallenda certainly has a strong belief in Jesus. During his 1,500-foot-high climb on a 2-inch wire across a gorge near the Grand Canyon, Wallenda was heard praying to Jesus quite often. At one point in his nearly 23-minute walk across Little Colorado River Gorge, Wallenda said, "Definitely whipping that cable. Golly, wind. Go away in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calming that cable, Lord. Oh, yeah. That's my savior. That's Jesus." Oh, that's my savior. Kind of awkward, but then again, I guess you can't blame someone for what they say while trying to cross a gorge on a 2-inch cable. I had mixed feelings about the event. On the one hand, it's definitely an impressive feat, arguably crazy, but nevertheless impressive. But as a non-believer, I found the excessive religiosity almost nauseating and perhaps even unnecessary. As a skeptic, I believe it was probably Nick Wallenda's skill and expertise that got him to the other side. I don't think he was literally aided across the 2-inch cable by some deity. I think his prayers could have helped in a sense. I think they could have helped Wallenda focus his mind the way any mantra, repetitive phrase might, but I doubt they literally invoked any supernatural aid. I know it's probably a downer, but I don't think prayer shields us from danger. I'm sure plenty of people die tragically every day with prayers on their lips. For some reason, I'm reminded of all those horrible news stories about devout, quote-unquote, Christian scientists who deny their children medical care, believing that all that's needed is prayer, and eventually the child ends up dying from something that initially could have been easily treated. I'm also reminded of a Richard Dawkins documentary I watched. A portion of it was filmed in Lourdes with a backdrop of teeming pilgrims. And Dawkins comments that you never see anything like the miraculous regrowing of a severed limb. It's always things that might have gotten better on their own anyway. I have heard that prayer, like meditation, can have modest positive effects on health, such as lower blood pressure, etc., but that could probably just be ascribed to the effect of the relaxed mood or positive mental state on the body. I know there's also reports of prayers supposedly sending cancer into remission, but then again, cancer also often goes into remission on its own. But once again, like Richard Dawkins says, it's never anything truly impressive or convincing like the regeneration of a missing limb. Well, all right, on to the next story. Recently, DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, or at least the same-sex marriage ban associated with it, was ruled to be unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. It was a groundbreaking decision, and members of the LGBT community and their supporters were overjoyed, but not everyone was happy about it. Mike Huckabee, conservative TV host and former Arkansas governor, sent out the following tweet. My thoughts on the SCOTUS ruling that determined that same-sex marriage is okay. Jesus wept. Governor Mike Huckabee. At Gov Mike Huckabee, June 26, 2013. I believe Jesus wept refers to a verse in John chapter 11, one of the shortest in the Bible, and it refers to Jesus weeping over the death of his friend Lazarus. But obviously Huckabee is trying to imply Jesus is weeping over gay marriage. Ridiculous, or even redonkulous if you prefer. As I've heard a number of people point out, although the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament mentions a prohibition against homosexuality, as well as a bunch of other stuff, including eating shellfish, and in the New Testament, Paul makes some passing comments that could be seen as anti-homosexual, Jesus himself never says anything about homosexuality. In fact, Jesus' main gripes seem to be against materialism and a lack of social justice. We all know about his preaching about caring for the least of these, overturning the tables in the temple of the money changers, the whole thing about it being easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to the kingdom of heaven. Nothing really about homosexuality or gay marriage, though. It sure seems to bother Mike Huckabee, though. With that being said, I guess this brings yet another episode to a close. So once again, this has been The Week in Doubt. Thanks for listening. As usual, if you want to support the show, you can give the show a review or subscribe through either Podbean or iTunes. You can like the Week in Doubt Facebook page, and you can check out some of the uploads at the Week in Doubt YouTube channel. All right, thanks again for listening, and until next time.